This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We've been doing a series of interviews sprinkled in among programs talking about education and getting updates from a number of organizations around the area. I want to talk about the Douglas Education Service District today. And Alicia Nicholson is the superintendent, been in place for a few months. And Alicia, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. It's good to be here.
So remind me, how many months have you been the director?
I started in July, so just over 6 months.
So how do you feel like the transition has gone moving into the role of superintendent?
It's going well. I'm learning lots, and I'm learning really fast. It's different than what I was previously doing, but ultimately, we've got a great team here and great staff who do really good work. So it's a great organization to be leading.
And remind people how long you had been at ESD and what you had done prior.
Yeah, this I think is my 14th year at Douglas ESD. Various roles. I started as an instructional coach supporting teachers in the classroom. And most recently, I was the deputy superintendent overseeing general education and early education programs.
So the ESD is an organization that has so much going on. Remind people kind of the overall sort of mission or what ESD is all about.
Yeah, so we do lots of things at the ESD. Mostly we are here to serve students and families and children through various programs that we have and our 13 component school districts. So we have about what I would say four main divisions of our agency: administration, which is, you know, the back office, HR, tech, all of those sorts of things; instructional services, which is all of the things happening, support happening out in classrooms; special education services, especially for the needs that children have that don't happen as frequently. And early learning is another major component. So we have about nearly 50 programs and services in our organization. So it's pretty exciting times.
And a lot going on. Any big projects or plans for the ESD in this calendar year?
Yeah. So we've got a couple of things, actually. I wanted to share that on January 31st at 1, our Early Learning and Parent Resource Center is having its grand opening, and that's at our Stephen Street site. The purpose of that center is for families and children to come and be together. When we've reached out to families to ask, what do you need, a space to be with other families has consistently been feedback that we've gotten. So we're excited to open that up to the public and be a larger support system for them.
And again, what was the date for that event?
January 31st.
And is that kind of for a specific population, or is this open for the public?
Yeah, families and children and community partners who are working with kids, they're all welcome.
Now, any other big projects or plans for the year?
Yeah, the other cool thing that is new is we have our audiology services have expanded. So at our Stevens site, we now have a hearing booth, and we can do two things. We can, for our children, we can conduct hearing tests. And then also these are children in our early intervention program. We can also help them with tuning those hearing devices. So that's super exciting. Anyone who's ever had a hearing device knows that it being locked in and working well is super important to the kids being able to hear things. So,
and if you're dealing with those issues, that is so key, because just a bit of an adjustment or something being slightly off kilter really is a big impact in trying to assimilate information or what you're being told.
Yeah, it's huge. And some of the devices have connections to like a teacher wearing, I guess it would be kind of like a mic or some that sort of device. So that being connected in tune is just imperative for kids. So we're excited to expand those services.
So for quite a while, we saw a lot of work at the Northeast Stevens Street property going on, that building originally a grocery store back in the day. Is the work all there complete?
Yeah, we've been in there for almost 10 months. We moved in March of April of 2022. I think all of the projects have been wrapped, and it's just a beautiful space. That's where our parent center is. It's a beautiful space, and we're so excited that our early intervention and early childhood education programs and families have that space to meet their needs.
What are you able to do with that space now that you couldn't do before?
So it now houses all of our early learning programs. So the Parent Center, that is a new program and space that we have. The Hearing Lab was new. Many of the other rooms, the evaluation rooms we have for children, all existed, but they've been, updated in this new space. And I think the other thing is just that all of those programs that are serving the same group of kids are there together, and they can collaborate and connect with each other, which is super exciting and what we can now do for kids.
Now, along with that and the Roseburg Public Library space that you have there, is that it, or do you have staff elsewhere in the community?
We have early childhood education classrooms sprinkled throughout the community for kids who are receiving special education preschool services. And then we have staff located in all of the school districts serving kids as well. The library site and Stevens are our two main buildings in this county.
So as the school year began back in September, were there any kind of new programs for the school year?
Well, the audiology services is one of the big new things that we're doing. And then I think getting our Parent Resource Center up and going. Most of what we have, programs that we have just been expanded. We're always working to get grants so that we can offer more programming to more kids and families. So mostly just expanding and continuing to do the good work on the things we have been doing.
How many staff do you have currently?
Just over 300 wonderful people.
Wow. And what kind of backgrounds? I mean, because there's a lot of diversity to the positions there, so I'm sure people's backgrounds aren't all necessarily the same.
Yeah. We have lots and lots of different things happening. So, we'll have what you traditionally think of in education. We have teachers and we have instructional assistants and all of our wonderful administrative assistants and administrators. But we also have, specialists who are doing data, grant management. Our early learning program is, folks with who specialize in 0 to 5. So we have 300 people doing lots of different things across our agency. And, of course, can never forget the people who take care of our buildings, our custodians and folks who take care of us every day and keeping our facilities nice and clean.
Now, with the number of staff that you have outside of the metro area, does that make you one of the larger ESDs in the state?
Yeah, we, given the size of like 13,000 students that we serve, we are a bit larger than comparable ESDs. Mostly because we've invested in our early learning programs, our EIEC SE programs, our early learning hub. That's really what has caused us to grow over the last 4 or 5 years.
And how does it work to have a footprint that goes into a number of other counties? Do you have satellite offices at those locations, or how does it all work?
Yeah, So we have an EIECSE program in Jackson County, and then our early learning hub is in Klamath and Lake, as well as Douglas. So we do have physical sites in Jackson, and then in Klamath and Lake, we share space with other ESDs or libraries or other public services. It's pretty cool. Having that footprint, I think, really helps us know what resources are available throughout Southern Oregon. It's really nice when you see something in another county and you think, gosh, that would really be helpful to kids here in Douglas County. So it really helps us expand our services and find things that really make an impact.
Now, I'm curious about being in Jackson County, because that is a very large area, about 270,000 people down in that area. So are you doing a certain aspect of services, and then there's another ESD down there doing other things?
Yeah, so our K-12 programming only happens in Douglas County with our 13 component districts. And then we have an early intervention, early childhood education program in Jackson that serves 0 to 5 kids who have special needs.
Now,
and then they have an ESD for all the things we do, similar like K-12.
Wow. So here's the question of the year. Are you fully staffed, and are you having any issues finding staff?
We're pretty close to being fully staffed. We have positions that, I don't know if this language is used in other sectors, but in education we call them hard to find. Our speech language pathologists, our occupational therapists, PT, physical therapists, they're positions that we typically are usually posted. So if you're interested, please come take a look. And then as throughout the year we get new grants, we'll post new positions. So we're pretty close. It's a great place to work. Check out our jobs page. We've got some postings right now if you're interested.
Do you have any concerns about the national data showing that less people are going into college to be educators when you look down the road and wonder if you're going to have more issues finding staff?
Absolutely. That is something that is very top of mind for both myself and the school districts in our area. I'm an educator. It's an amazing job. Our students deserve the best. One of the things, there have been investments made both by the federal and state government for Grow Your Own programs. So we have what we call Teach Umpqua, and that is focused on teacher recruitment of folks who live here, who want to be teachers. So we know there's lots of people who are interested. We don't have a four-year university, so it makes it challenging for them to go through a teacher prep program. So we're working with, so UCC is working in partnership, and we're working to get, you know, kids interested in teaching and also folks in our community interested. And if you're interested in being a teacher, just again, go to our webpage and find our Grow Your Own spot, and we'll get you connected with the person who can help you find your path.
When did you know that you wanted to be in education?
That's a funny question, because my mom was a teacher. And so I knew the life of the teacher, and I also knew I was super interested in health and healthcare, and so I couldn't see how those two things would work together. And basically, I had my first job out of college, working at a behavioral health unit, and realized I wanted to be on the prevention side, and realized that being a health teacher could be my pathway. So that was my journey, but it took me, like most people, I went round and about.
So how many years did you teach before you moved over to the administration side?
I taught for 1 year, and then I was a coach at ESD for 4, so 5 years before I became an administrator.
Technology is a big issue right now, certainly coming through the pandemic. Talk about the impact on available technology and how it's maybe changed or altered how you can deliver services.
It's been huge. Technology makes things more efficient, more effective. I would say pre-pandemic to post-pandemic, many of our districts are you know, have devices that they're pretty close to 1-to-1 or 1-to-3 kids, which allows for some more personalized education opportunities. The technology for our that serves our students with special needs is huge. You know, you open up Word, and it can read things for you, or you can dictate and it will type things for you. I mean, that's just the simplest technology, up to technology we use with students who are nonverbal, that allows them to communicate. It's just, it's profound what it has done and the impact it's had on kids.
And is it continuing to ramp forward and advance?
Oh, absolutely. Like, what existed when I started at the ESD is totally different now. I think people just continue to develop and find things that meet the needs of kids. It's, like I said, it's pretty profound what they've done.
Now, what was learned during the pandemic, technology-wise, that's going to be useful for the long term?
We learned a few things. I would say before the pandemic, there was sort of this chatter about the future of education, you know, 1-to-1, no brick and mortar, it would happen, you know, anywhere. And I think what we learned during the pandemic is that most kids really enjoy being in a classroom learning with other kids and in that school environment. And I think we also learned that we have tools that you can be more personalized student learning as well. So I think what you're seeing in schools now is combining those two ideas. So we're in the classroom, we're learning together, but we also have those technological devices that can meet kids exactly where they're at. So that's a shift that I think is pretty exciting.
And especially for the work you do in different locations, I'm sure there's instances that is helpful as well versus having to send somebody down 100 miles down the road.
Yeah, online meeting platforms have definitely changed the way we at the ESD work. And also, it changed the possibility of how educators can connect. So if you're the only first grade or second grade teacher, you know, our county is huge geographically. It allows teachers to connect online and share their lessons and what they're doing with each other so that they can learn from each other. So, yeah, it's those two things have been really huge and I think advancing what we do in schools.
Now, you mentioned throughout different grants and things, it seems like you guys have a real complex funding stream. How do you keep that all on track?
We have an amazing business office and amazing administrators and support staff who do a really good job. Our funding streams are pretty simple. They're either federal, state, or grants. The complex part is just braiding when you can, when it's allowable, braiding and blending those funds together to put together programs that are best for the kids and families that we work with.
And what about long-term plans, maybe things that you would like to add down the road to what Douglas ESD provides?
Yeah, we are in conversation with districts always about what are the needs of kids. We're always looking at, you know, research and data and what are the best practices for kids. The Student Success Act, I think, is huge and continues to be huge for the additional funding it's sending to schools to focus really on inclusion and access for all kids to learning. I anticipate that will continue to be a huge focus for schools. And mental health, it continues to be a huge need coming out of the pandemic. We just really call to attention how much help is needed out there for kids. And so, again, we continue to work with our community partners and districts to meet kids where they're at and get them the programs they need.
What's been the toughest part of this new role?
I would say it's just the magnitude of the work we do. You know, we're working with districts and students and families, and we just want to make sure they get what they need. And so it's just making sure that we're always aligned with what the needs are of our families, kids, and districts.
And what about your favorite part of your new role?
Well, that one's easy. That's supporting the staff at the ESD and our districts. We've got great people here. I've worked here, like I said, for 14 years, and I was in a different department, and now I get to work with, you know, all 300 people, and I just get to connect with people who are doing incredible things, who are creative and inventive, and who are focused on inclusion and access and equity, and so that's really exciting. And then our districts, who are doing awesome things with kids, and being able to support them is just tremendous for me.
And if people want to find out more about ESD, talk about your website.
Yeah, so Douglas ESD, you can Google Douglas ESD, or it's www.douglasesd.k12.or.us.
And Alicia Nicholson, Superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Happy to be here.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.